It's 11 minutes before 8. It's Thursday, March 14th. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game will conduct the first aerial survey of the herring season today. During this first flyover, biologists will look at the distribution of herring predators like sea lions and whales. That gives them an idea of where the fish are located in the sound and can help them target areas for fishing. Fish and Game biologist Dave Gordon says they will also conduct the first herring roe test on Monday to see how much mature roe is in the herring.
I don't expect there to be a real high percentage of mature roe in the sample. There may not be any, actually, at this point in time. We're kind of on the early side. You know, it's probably more normal to see the fish ready for harvest around the, 25th of March, something like that. But you never know. We have fished as early as March 16th. The timing changes from year to year, so you want to stay on top of it.
He says fishery managers will conduct regular tests until the roe reach a certain percentage of their body weight.
Once you get up to samples that are giving you 8, 9, 10% roe, then you think about putting the fishery on what we call 2-hour notice. And that's when everybody needs to be ready to go fishing with as little notice as 2 hours. And they better be here, and they will be once you announce 2-hour notice.
On Sunday night, there was a personal use bait harvest north of Middle Island, just north of Sitka. The average weight of those fish was 161 grams. A number of samples were taken, but the harvesters found no mature roe. The Sitka School Board opposes legislation that would allow public funding to pay for private and religious schools. The board also wants to retain local authority of charter schools should any be established in Sitka. Two bills currently in the Alaska State Legislature propose amending the state constitution to remove the language that prohibits spending public money on private education. The amendment is seen as a first step toward the creation of a public school voucher system in Alaska. A third bill would turn over control of charter schools to the state. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
School Board President Lon Garrison drafted the language of the local resolutions.
When the State Constitutional Convention composed Alaska's Constitution, the prohibition on using public tax dollars to finance private or parochial school vouchers was written into the document and approved by Alaska voters for several reasons, not the least of which was the protection for private and parochial schools against interference by the government.
The Alaska Constitution is specific. Article 7 states, "No money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution." The two bills are known as House Joint Resolution 1 and Senate Joint Resolution 9. Wasilla Republican Wes Keller sponsored the House version. Freshman Senator Mike Dunleavy, also a Republican from Wasilla, sponsored the Senate version. Garrison said the House resolution is a much more straightforward attempt to divert public money into private schools in the name of school choice. He said Senator Dunleavy's bill would accomplish the same thing, but was cloaked in different language.
He sees an inequity in what the state carries out in terms of helping, say, for instance, college students with state loans and scholarships go to private institutions.
Senator Dunleavy's bill would still require amending the Constitution. The board unanimously voted to oppose the proposed legislation, but board member Tim Fulton said he did not want the public to think that the vote represented opposition to charter schools. In fact, he said he generally supported the idea of charter schools and has participated in committee discussions about creating one in the Sitka district. Current state law allows the creation of publicly funded charter schools which operate under the authority of a local school board and are subject to the same educational standards. A third bill, now before the legislature, would change that. House Bill 93 is sponsored by first-time legislator Lynn Gaddis, a Republican from Wasilla, who was given the chairmanship of the House Education Committee. HB 93 would remove the authority of local school boards over charter schools and hand it directly to the Department of Education. Sitka School Board President Lon Garrison drafted a second resolution in opposition of this bill. He was critical of the increase in bureaucracy that might result from having the state directly involved in education.
The duplication of administration and associated costs will continue to erode the dollars actually spent in the classroom and not facilitated. Furthermore, the continued reduction of funding to the State Department of Education and Early Development and the dwindling pool of experienced staff that will be able to implement and facilitate the new role of the department as it pertains to this bill makes the success of this law highly doubtful.
The board vote opposing HB 93 was also unanimous. Sitka school board members will have an opportunity to register their objections in person. They'll be attending a legislative fly-in to Juneau later this month. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Huna is one step closer to generating power from a nearby waterway, but the project developer still needs to clear one federal agency and change its rate structure to fully benefit the community. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports on the energy project discussed at the recent Southeast Conference Mid-Season Summit in Juneau.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has issued a much-needed license for the Gartina Falls project near Huna. The developer is the Inside Passage Electric Cooperative, which serves the 850 population town about 40 miles west of Juneau. Jody Mitchell is CEO and general manager of the cooperative, known as IPEC.
It will displace about 30% of our diesel in Huna, which, well, we're still 70% diesel dependent, but that's very significant for the community.
The project will use a small dam to divert water from just above Gartina Falls, about 5 miles from Huna. A pipe will carry the water to a powerhouse at the falls base. Transmission lines will carry electricity to the community. Mitchell says the project is fully funded at just under $8 million, but she knows other Southeast projects have seen costs rise dramatically.
We're hoping to break ground, at least to put the access road in this year, and then install the equipment next year and hopefully have it up and running by the end of next year.
IPEC says the falls are a natural barrier to anadromous fish, and the project should not impact salmon runs. Southeast Alaska Conservation Council spokesman Dan Lesh says the environmental group has no problem with the project.
We're definitely supportive of the project and, in general, all the communities in Southeast trying to get off diesel and trying to move on to renewable energy.
One of Huna's largest electrical customers is Icy Strait Point, an old cannery renovated as a cruise ship destination. Manager Johan Dibdahl says the small hydro project will help.
Well, that could mean a lot for us because we don't get the benefit of the PCE, of course, and so our electricity bills at Icy Strait Point run pretty high.
PCE is power cost equalization. It's a state program that lowers high electrical rates for qualifying communities. Homes are eligible, but businesses are not. Mitchell says the project faces one more regulatory hurdle from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Because of the project being on wetlands, they're requiring us to set aside an equal parcel, which is about 5 acres, to classify as wetlands and say that we won't develop it. Well, obviously, IPEC doesn't own any land, so we might have to make a visit to D.C. to try to get some help from our delegation to overcome that obstacle because I think it's unreasonable.
Gartina Falls is a run-of-the-river project. That means it makes power from whatever amount of water is flowing. It has no containment dam, which would create a lake that would help average out the amount of electricity generated. Southeast Conference Energy Coordinator Robert Venables says that's not ideal.
The highest target value resource that, you know, communities and utilities are looking for are projects that have storage capacity. So usually your lake hydros are the best.
But that's not possible for Huna, Cake, and some other Southeast communities, so run-of-the-river is a good alternative.
We're very excited to get some relief for the folks there in Huna, but this is just the beginning, not the end of meeting their energy needs.
IPEC's current rate structure averages out power production costs in Huna and the four other areas it serves. That would lessen the impact on the community. Mitchell says that structure is changing to a rate based on local costs. That encourages projects such as Gartina Falls that lower local rates. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
You can find out more about the Gartina Falls project at our website, kcaw.org. Taking the kids big game hunting could soon get a bit easier in Alaska. Senator Pete Kelly has proposed a bill that would allow a legal guardian to take their kids between the ages of 8 and 17 hunting year-round in designated big game areas. His office says the hope is that the bill will offer more opportunities for parents to take their kids hunting where they can learn about firearm safety and hunting education. Kelly proposed a previous iteration of this bill in 2001. The latest version was referred to the Senate Resources and Finance Committees. Last year, the youngest musher ever to win Alaska's Iditarod Trail sled dog race said his 25-year-old stamina gave him the advantage. Just a year later, Dallas Seavey's own father proved youth doesn't always win out. Using careful strategy and an all-out sprint to the finish, 53-year-old Mitch Seavey became the oldest winner ever of the grueling 1,000-mile race. Dog mushing is among the few extreme sports with such a huge age range. That's because the true super athletes in the game are the dogs. Also, while mushers older may not have the vigor of their younger counterparts, they have more experience and often are better prepared to handle things like the numbing sleep deprivation on the trail. The Alaska House is poised to vote on a $9.8 billion state operating budget. The measure advanced from the House Finance Committee yesterday, and it could get to a floor vote as early as today. The proposal is $91 million higher than the committee's first version of the bill. The biggest addition was $125 million to help with financing for a liquefied natural gas trucking project for the Fairbanks area. The number also reflects what was referred to as a $36 million technical adjustment, which is not a funding cut, but meant to more accurately reflect what the University of Alaska system has authority to spend. And that's it for Raven News. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.